And welcome to The Deuce. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And you are listening to episode 10. We finally made the double digits.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Do you remember when you turned 10?
When I turned 10?
Yeah, I got a magic kit.
Let's see. When I turned 10.
That's all I remember.
So, I'm trying to think if I was here or I was still living in Illinois. I think I just moved. No, it was actually right before the summer I moved to Nebraska, so I did nothing because that's what I got for my birthday.
Well, there you go. So bringing up hard times for you right there. Scars. Bringing them out today.
Damn you.
today we're doing our third, or second to the last, third comic book movie, right?
Yep.
Blade 2, Blood Hunt is the whole title of it.
Yeah. And so I don't know if anybody remembers. So I've seen this movie many times, and I never heard, like, Blade 2, Duck Hunt, or whatever it was.
Blood Hunt.
Blood Hunt, yeah. Duck I never Hunt. Heard, I don't know.
I saw no ducks in this movie at all.
I never heard Blood Hunt as kind of the subtitle of this one, so.
Yeah, I don't, they're not really hunting for
it,
blood.
It doesn't even say it, like, on the. Look, there's a picture of the poster, and it does not say Blood Hunt anywhere on them, so I don't know where that came from.
We rented this on Amazon. You can rent it on Amazon or any of your streaming services for $2.99, or you can purchase it for $9.99. Good segue, huh?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
And according to the trailer, if you use AOL keyword Blade, you can get more information. I saw AOL keyword.
All
and
you
70-year-old
people, is AOL still around?
Yes,
really?
In some form. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it is.
What? Go, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's sad but true.
That's crazy. So we are dropping the deuce on Blade 2 Blood Hunt. I'm gonna call it that because that's a little subtitle. So we're gonna call it Blood Hunt. I don't know why we're going to call it Blood
Hunt. Well, and I want, okay, so all the listeners out there who hear this one, I want your opinion on this because I don't ever remember that being part of the title.
Yeah.
And maybe one of you might know, is that like some sort of like the European version titling or is it for some reason, is that what we have here? I don't understand where that title came from or if just later we were like, huh. Blade 3 is Trinity, so maybe we need to name Blade 2 something else retroactively.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would call it that.
And I don't even think it fits with the title or fits with the story
call it
at all.
Like
so.
Blade 2 Vampire Embryos, which is a good band name.
Yeah, Vampire Embryos.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah, there you go.
Embryotic Rockabilly Polka Dotted Fighter Pilots.
That's probably what it translates to. So I'm not really familiar with Blade.
I'm going to keep saying Blood also.
Oh, my God. Blade, again, it's just not a comic book that interests me.
Yeah.
Having watched this is also a movie that doesn't, like, it's not a typical movie I would watch.
Right.
So I'm going into this movie and to this episode hopefully with an open mind. But I'm saying this is not a movie I generally watch.
Yeah.
So bear with me on this. But you've seen this a couple times. You know the kind of history of Blade. The little bit of the comic book history.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole story with Blade is that his mother was bitten by a vampire when she was pregnant with him. And so when she gave birth, he was born as a vampire. And so it's almost like, because the vampirism is like a virus, he had some natural immunities, or basically didn't get like the full wave of what he would get.
Okay.
So Blade is, they always call him the Daywalker. He can go out in the sunlight, and basically he has all of their strengths, but none of their weaknesses. So he spent a lot of his youth kind of on the streets, feeding where he could, until Whistler, who was a vampire hunter, took him in and trained him up to, and like basically helped him to satiate his bloodlust by taking these injections instead of actually feeding.
Yeah.
And which he can still feed, but he prefers to do the injections instead.
Oh, that's why that's what the blue
injection? Yeah, like the bluish green stuff he was injecting. Right. That's to stave off the.
I thought it was Clorox Blue.
It was. That's just what it is.
Putting it right in the bloodstream. Yeah. There you go.
But he.
Yum. Mama likes the magic of Clorox too.
Ooh. So he. He is basically trained up to hunt vampires. He wants to wipe them all out so that they can stop preying on the innocent. And it's bigger than it sounds. There's a whole organized, like, vampire nation.
Yeah. I mean, that makes it sound a little, you know, there's not a lot going on. He's just killing vampires.
Yeah. And so for those of you who hadn't seen the first movie, they actually show, like, there's almost like, they're almost like, they call them deacons. It's almost got this whole kind of, like church state kind of feel to it, where there's like religious aspects, but there's also this kind of hedonistic aspect to them.
That's the comic book itself.
Well, that's in the first movie.
Oh, and again, I've never seen the first movie. Yeah. So.
And the comic book, it's it was around a while ago, but they kind of brought it back with like under Marvel Knights. You got because it was a darker story.
Knights.
So they brought it back, just like how we talked about Ghost Rider, how it was darker, so they put it under that banner. That's Blade was under a lot of that, too, when they brought him back. They had to revitalize him because, like, originally he was wearing this, like, green Pied Piper kind of outfit with, like, brown leotards underneath of it. It was, like, it was very odd. I'll show you the costume sometime. We'll put it up on the page. Versus Wesley Snipes' version, and you can tell us which one you prefer.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to drop the deuce. Of course, Wesley Snipes is Blade. This movie stars Wesley Snipes, and Chris Gustafson comes back.
Yep, as
also Whistler. Directed by the wonderful Del Toro.
Right? Yep, Guillermo Del Toro.
And
it was written by David Goyer.
David S. Goyer.
And... there's actually some, like, visual, like, he was, Mike Mignola was a consultant on this, and, of course, Guillermo del Toro and Mike Mignola working on Hellboy together, and you'll see a lot of the recurring people, Luke Goss, who is in this movie, as well as
Ron Perlman,
both show up in the Hellboy movies, of course, so, you'll see, the guy who plays the attorney in this, there's an attorney in this one, he is actually Rasputin in the first Hellboy movie. So you see a lot of the same people kind of show up again.
And Hellboy 2 will be our next episode. But let's go ahead and drop the deuce on Blade 2, Blood Hunt.
So we open up in the Czech Republic at a blood bank. Of all
check,
things.
Check.
So, this guy comes in. You see somebody in a hoodie who's kind of coughing. He says he's talking about selling blood. And somebody comes up and they're like, "No, they'll buy anything. They'll even buy it from you if it's in a jar." And he's like, "A jar of blood," which is odd. But they call him. They say his name is Jarrett Nomak. So they call him up, and he's got this big scar on his chin, and they're asking him what that's from. He said it was a birth defect thing, and they're bringing him into this room, and as you're going, you're kind of like, wow, this is this big, long tunnel, or like kind of chamber they're going through.
Yeah.
And as they pass, you can see people in one room mopping up blood off the floor, so you know something's not quite right.
Yeah, something sinister is going on.
So he's led to this room and basically put in a chair, and he's restrained. Well, it turns out the blood bank folks are vampires, which makes sense. So they're vampires. Right when they're about to drain him, he starts laughing. And so they're asking what's going on. He breaks free and just starts tearing through the vampires. Finally, he gets over to the last one. And you see his that scar on his chin basically opens up, And his mouth kind of opens into this, like,
yeah,
double jaw thing with, like, a this weird tentacle, you know, sucker thing that comes out of his where his tongue is.
That's so he can give hickeys.
It's true. Mega hickeys.
Mega hickeys.
Vampire hickeys. So,
well, the guy, the doctor guy had this, like, claw thing that reminded me of Freddy Krueger in a
yeah,
way.
It was
but
like,
I don't know how he would use that.
Well, it's like, it had, like, needles on the fingers,
yeah,
so I don't know what it was.
One needle, don't you? You don't need five.
Well, yeah, I don't know what it, because they didn't, like, it didn't look like they attached to hoses.
No.
Where they would drain him, so I'm not quite sure what the tool did, but
was.
Except
that
for just looking menacing.
Yeah.
But then we go into, my favorite technique in sequel movies, A recap from the first
movie. Previously on Blade.
And so he...
Which I even put that. I go, there was a Blade TV series, right?
And there was
that
a Blade
was like
TV series.
On Spike.
I think it was on Spike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not a big fan.
Right, and but this kind of flashback intro reminded me of a TV show in a way.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a movie. And I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just saying it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
In a way. So it's kind of like rehashing... This is like shot for shot. Like they're taking scenes for the first movie, right?
Yeah, they are. But they're also part of it is and part of it isn't. Part of it's just like him wandering around.
Okay.
But it actually takes a quote from the first movie where he's like, this is all you need to know about vampires or what you need to know. And basically explains that there are vampires all around us. You know, they are real. These are their weaknesses. I don't have those. That kind of stuff. So he goes through his normal spiel from the first movie. But then he adds that the vampires have Whistler, and that he's hunting after him.
Chris Christopherson,
who is played by Chris Christopherson. So that's kind of a new one. I only remember in the first movie, I remember Whistler shooting himself, and then all of a sudden they're talking about that the vampires got him and took him away. And so I remember being very confused about that when this movie came out. And I was like, wait, what happened?
So they're kind of using this as a way of just bringing Chris Christopherson back.
That's, yeah, basically, to get Whistler back in it. Because he was, I think people would have been like, why do you have this movie without him?
Okay.
He's
people
pretty,
liked him.
He was a pretty, like, or pretty fan-fave character in the first one, I think.
And I forget, like, every time I see Chris Christopherson, I always forget how wavy and beautiful his hair is.
It is.
Seriously. And
it's
then how ragged his, like, beard is.
It's long and luxurious, both
his
hair
and his
beard.
It's like a yin and yang.
It's true.
Of hairstyles. It's great.
So, Blade's, we come to Blade, he's running through some sort of a vampire nest, like, safe house.
Sure.
Basically just killing everybody, you know, going back to our old standard, you know, he's killing vampires and they just, like, burst into flames. We see their skeletons,
burning,
crumble.
I didn't
know
if that was the same, like, with the first movie.
Yeah.
But, like, when vampires die in this movie, they fade like a sparkler or a cheap firework.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like embers. Yeah. I don't know if that's how it was in the first movie.
It was like that in the first movie. Actually, they played around with instead using it like a snake, where when he'd stab them, they would turn into a coil of black ash. No, not really.
Oh.
But
they look like smoke bombs or that tank or those or those snaps you get. Snap, snap. I hated those things.
I used to like putting them under. And listen, kids, if you put those under, like, the little, on the bottom side of the toilet seat where they have, like, the little, those little pads when somebody sits on the toilet, it snaps.
No. I hate those things.
Anyway, so, basically he's killed everybody, except for a few people who have run away, and they all hop on their motorcycles and start driving away. And of course there's one vampire left who's just running, and Blade kills him. Slowly, apparently. But then for some...
And this is the first time I've seen the Blade kind of like... They establish him very kick-ass. He's very, you know, nothing really can touch me too much. I flip. I move.
Oh,
I groove.
He does like
I do a little parkour here and there.
Yeah.
At the beginning, it's not very much parkour. I think he like taps. he like taps the wall and then flips a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, we can do better than that. But then it does pick up in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do like that. And the action sequences in this movie are pretty good.
Yeah.
Like for what they are really good. And they're very choreographed very well.
So, interestingly enough, though, they were choreographed by Donnie Yen.
Who's Donnie Yen?
Who was from Rogue One.
Okay.
And he actually is in this movie as well. Oh,
is that his name?
Donnie Yen. Okay. Yeah, so
he also choreographed?
He was the fight choreographer.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's great at that.
Oh, no wonder he had that. Because his scene's pretty good that he has with a couple of later on.
Yeah. No, he does great. And actually, the fighting through this and the choreography in it is just beautiful. And it actually really helps. You know, Wesley Snipes is very, he's very good at his fighting portion of it. Luke Goss, again, who plays Nomak, is great. We see him again in Hellboy 2. And so
yeah, I did enjoy
fights and his action sequences are just wonderful.
And he had the right amount of like ticks to him of a vampire or of a villain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it wasn't over the top, but it was enough. So
right. Mm-hmm. So in any case, so the motorcycles have escaped. Blade kills the last guy who's just on foot. And then for some unexplained reason, the motorcycles turn around and just like start coming back towards him.
I didn't get that.
Not sure why, but they're coming back at him. Kills one of them, and then the other one he knocks off, and he's like, I want to know where he is. And the guy basically says, you know, he knows where he is, and says, Blade says to this, like, kind of Eurovamp, who's named Rush, he says, I want you to take me to him. And when he refuses, he looks like he's going to grind his face on, like, the spinning wheel of his motorcycle. We cut to a safe house where the vamps are snorting what looks like blood cut with cocaine.
No, it looks like cherry pixie stick dust.
That's probably what it was.
Yes.
That little do we, probably. Little fun fact, vampires get high from cherry pixie sticks.
And not only vampires, werewolves and humans alike.
Yeah.
It's the universal candy for all monsters and girls and boys out there.
So Rush bangs on the door. And says to open up, but of course when they open, Blade fights his way through. Blade, who is a man of his word, said, let's Rush go, because he told him he would. But he says, I'll catch you later.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll find you later.
I'll find you
like
later.
That. Yeah, and so Rush leaves. He fights his, Blade finds his way through and kind of finds this, like, Bacta tank with Whistler inside of it. And it's just, like, filled with blood. So he releases Whistler, and Blade draws his, blade, he uses it to
Blade
cut him loose.
Blade draws pictures for Pictionary. Of course he draws his blade.
Blade cuts him loose, and he reaches for this silver stake to kill him, but he can't bear to do it, and so he grabs Whistler and runs. So Blade brings Whistler back to his hideout.
Where he sings, Sunday morning coming down. Sorry, that's Kris Kristofferson. Pinned by Kris Kristofferson, noted better hit-wise, Johnny Cash actually sang that. But nice. Kris Kristofferson wrote that, so there you go.
There you go. So we first meet Scud, who is played by Norman Reedus. From The Walking Dead. Boondock Saints.
Oh, he is Sean Patrick Flannery?
Yeah.
Is and him?
Yeah.
Are the brothers? Yeah, yep. That is him. Yeah.
He's basically replaced Whistler as his like gear, the partner develops all the gear and stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting fact, Scud is also wearing a BPRD shirt, which is the place Hellboy works in the Hellboy movies, the organization he's with.
I know. I read IMDb, too.
I noticed it when I was watching it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I actually read it on IMDb.
Oh, did you? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But I saw it, and I was like, awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the comic book, they're not in the same like universe, are
no,
they?
No, they're not. But okay. Mike Mignola is working on this one, so okay.
There you go.
So Scud urges Blade just to kill Whistler, but instead Blade gives Whistler a kind of a retrovirus meant to cure him of the vampirism. They've had him in stasis, so it hasn't fully taken over yet. All that time in like 2 years or whatever.
Can I ask you a question about Blade?
Yeah.
And this is just from my personal perspective. And Ron Perlman is like this in this movie too. But are they Canadian like Wolverine? Because they like to wear their sunglasses at night.
Oh, yeah. They wear them all the time.
Especially like Wesley Snipes' character, Blade.
Yeah.
He always has sunglasses. I mean, that's kind of a, like the character, right?
Yeah.
Of the comic book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he wears them in the comic a lot too. In the original one, if I remember right, he wore almost like those like yellow wraparounds that like grandmas put around their son. Their
blue blockers.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, blue blockers.
They go like all the way around.
There was a woman that like lived behind us. Yeah. And she would always walk the block, and she would her and her husband would wear blue blocker sunglasses.
Yeah, but that's what he like wore in the original things. It looked like. But then when they kind of redesigned him, he was wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
So Blade basically trying to heal Whistler says he is going to, in the morning, he's going to open the blinds to let the light in. So either Whistler's going to be cured and he'll be fine, or he'll die if he doesn't, you know, turn from being a vampire. So one way or the other, it's going to be taken care of. So we have a flashback to the first movie, again, where we actually see Blade giving Whistler the gun to kill himself. And then it comes back to Blade sitting on his bed with the gun and then going to see how Whistler's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in there, opens the blinds, turns out Whistler's fine. And he wants to get to work right away. But, of course, Scud's in his way, so they butt heads. And while they're talking... we get intruders. So the sensors start going off.
Intruders.
Yep. And it turns out they're vampires. And they're not only vampires, but they're like ninja vampires.
They're ninja vampires, which is great.
So there's this big fight scene then, including a sword fight with Blade, which is actually, the sword fight is great.
Yeah.
Now,
but there's a CGI part.
Yeah, so there's this part where it's computer generated.
It's not good.
And it's really dated looking. It looks awkward. It's like
Mortal Kombat. Like it looks like a video game.
Well, I remember when we saw this in the theaters, I was kind of like, ew, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But it was very early on. You didn't see this a lot in movies, like the CG fight scenes and things like that at this point. We see them a lot more now. But back then, you didn't.
I wonder why this scene in particular they wanted
I think it was because they wanted to, with a lot of the sword play and everything, I think they just wanted to jazz it up.
I think it's because of the lights, the UV lights.
Oh, yeah, they're fighting in because front of a big fighting, wall of UV yeah, lights.
And maybe they didn't want to, like, hurt or blind the actors.
There was actually, yeah, and I did read this one, actually.
I did, too.
Like, with, the UV accident, yeah.
Yeah. And so maybe that's why, but they are fighting, which looks like a Britney Spears or a glamour shots kind of like
the fighting in front of that
stage light bulb, you know, reject studio. So they're fighting with the UV light or fighting by the UV lights.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat style.
Yeah. So there's this one seed. I applaud them for using it because there was not a lot of this going on there, but it was awkward. And I would almost like chalk it up. So the next most awkward thing I can think of that looked that was very similar was
I would
in
marker it up instead of chalk it up.
Was in X-Men, the first X-Men movie.
Oh yeah.
Wolverine does a thing where he like
Wolverine
is clawing like the Statue of Liberty's like crown and like swings around on it and it looks like super fakety. Yeah. Yeah. He is doing it. It's kind of reminds me of that.
The Pokey and Gumby kind of like it looks kind of unnatural.
Yeah, they look rubbery and bendy.
Rubbery.
But, again, kudos for them trying that, because it really was not... A lot of that was just in its infancy then, too.
I don't know. You know, yeah. A lot of FX were kind of coming out at that time, so yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I think they balance it really well. This has a really a lot of great practical effects to
yeah,
it.
No, it does.
And so I'm willing to forgive one goofy CG scene with the amount of detail and work they put into the rest of the practical stuff. So anyway, the fight finally stops because there were really... It turns out they were there to deliver a message.
Oh, they're from FedEx.
Yes, correct. Amazon has...
Telegram. Telegram for Blade.
That's exactly what they are. They're delivering telegrams. We still, for some reason, vampires like sending telegrams.
So they don't have to go out and deliver it.
So we meet Nyssa and Assad, two of the vampires. They're from the Vampire Nation. And the Vampire Nation has offered a truce.
Elvira was from the Vampire Nation.
No, I don't think so.
So like TV? Like on TV?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. She's from TV Land. Vampire Nation has offered a truce because there are things worse than Blade out there and they need his help.
Mm.
So they rally or get him together. He agrees to go with them. And on their way to the Vampire Enclave, Nyssa comments about how easily Blade went along, and she was really kind of disappointed by that. Turns out he's loaded up with Semtech, which about enough to blow up a city block, so he's prepared in case
this
they screw
around
with
them. This is when they're like helicoptering.
Yeah, they're helicoptering in.
Now, I read that there's a lot of scenes that Wesley Snipes wasn't available to shoot. That was one of the scenes.
Oh, really?
So they had to use not like a body double, but like not their stunt double, but another person to kind of fill in and like have the shots of like overhead shots of looking past his shoulder and... Because he wasn't available, because he was actually shooting about three movies. This is like the heyday of
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes,
and he was. This was kind of his. This was around the time when he was really an up and coming star.
Yeah, this
with
was
stuff.
The time where he was saying, "I'm not going to pay those taxes."
Yeah, and this is when he was saying, "I'm not going to do Major League 2." Now, interesting. Think back to Major League 2 for those of you who maybe haven't listened to it. Go download it. But in Major League 2. They have the big thing where Willie Mays Hayes is this giant action star now.
Yeah.
And he's basically doing poorly at baseball because he's doing action movies. I almost think that was like a dig at Wesley Snipes.
Maybe.
Who was starting to do a lot more action movies.
Yeah.
And because he wouldn't come back for Major League 2. Yeah.
I'm sure it was meta.
Yeah. So they go through loads of security and come to meet... Lord Damaskinos.
Oh my God! I thought that was John Lithgow.
I mean,
he was white enough to be John Lithgow.
Yes, he had this kind of, it was a great effect too. Like this guy obviously has prosthetics on, and it almost looks like he's different, like greenish, and purplish. Like he's very old.
The makeup
skin.
On this is really good. I really appreciate that. Actually, they asked Tim Curry to play this role at the beginning.
Did they really?
Yeah, but I don't think he was available or. Whatever.
That would have been really good.
Tim Curry would actually be really good at this.
Yeah. So anyway, Lord Damaskinos, and just for the sake of ease of everything, I'm just going to call him Lil D from now on, just so I have to say Damaskinos each time. So Lil D...
Isn't that the frozen pizza that you get? It's not delivery, it's...
Damaskinos?
Yeah.
Correct. So... I just imagining him delivering pizzas.
Here's your pizza.
Did you order this?
Did you order
garlic?
This? Oh, you. Sorry, we only deliver after sundown.
Okay, so they reveal, Lil D reveals that the virus that causes vampirism has actually mutated. Just like viruses do from time to time. So this one is heavy duty. It turns them into something other than vampires. Most vampires turn into, or humans turn into vampires within 72 hours. This new virus reacts much more quickly, and what it turns into feeds on both humans and vampires alike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
he's moving our plot along.
Yeah. And basically they explain that Nomak was born after a vampire bit his mother, much like Blade, but it turned him into something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this oh, he's like you, Blade, kind of moment, where he has a different set of powers and everything, but a similar origin. So they want Blade to lead their crack squad of, you know, elite vampire ninjas.
Yes.
Called the Blood Pack.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been training to kill Blade, but now they want to work with him. So they cut to, on the streets, Nomak hunting a drug dealer and feeds on him. He hunts him, feeds on him, and for the first time we see that there are other Reapers in tow. So there's more of these creatures that have been created.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally go back. Now we finally get to meet the Blood Pack.
Oh, thank God.
So the first person we have is Lighthammer. He's the big guy.
Yeah.
Kind of holding on to him, you can tell that they're together, is Verlaine,
mm-hmm.
who is like kind of a low-rent Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, I called her something else. Well, I'll go through the whole list after you know.
Then there's Priest, who looks like Kenny G.
Okay.
And Snowman, who is played by Donnie Yen from Rogue One.
Yay.
No making fun from me, because he's Donnie Yen from Rogue One.
Well, yeah.
And then Chupa, who means suck in Spanish. Should tell everything you need to know. And then Reinhardt, who is played by Ron Perlman.
Okay, so I described him as guy with a prison eye drop tattoo.
Yeah.
90s Gwen Stefani.
Good.
A guy that looks like if Eric Stoltz and Ben McKenzie had a kid. Right. An Asian guy who likes to hit his chin and then points. And then a guy with blonde highlights and a chain-like shirt, in parentheses, a.k.a. the gay guy. And then Ron fucking Perlman.
Correct.
And then I also call them the Sons of Blandarchy.
Oh. True.
It is. Because that whole scene is like, okay, whatever. These are just disposable characters.
Yeah.
Except Ron Perlman.
And literally they're each doing like a different like point or look.
Yeah.
Like each have their own little intro like move. Except when it comes
the
to
beginning
Ron Perlman.
Of a 90s sitcom.
Yeah. Hey. Ron Perlman literally does this like slow look up towards Blade and then walks towards him menacingly. So obviously they're establishing Reinhardt as like the badass of the group.
Of the group.
And he asks Blade, can you blush? Because now, he's leading this group and this group is meant to kill him, but now he has to basically work with them. So Blade, of course, kind of just... Blade says, oh yeah, I get to work with you guys. Oh, I'm just so excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for this, guys.
I'm Blade. I'm excited.
I'm excited. So Blade...
my blade's sticking up.
So Blade basically is like, here, you can drive this stake into my chest. Why don't you give it a shot? And Ron Perlman's like, no. And so Blade starts slapping him around, basically to get him riled up. And when he finally goes after Blade, Blade spins him around and sticks an explosive device in the back of his head. And it's there to keep him in line because he does, you know, you mess with me, I'm going to blow your head up. So then he informs the new team that they're going to be taking orders from him now. So the team gears up. And they said they're going to head to the House of Pain, Tyler Perry's House of Pain. And so...
Everlast's House of Pain.
And so the House of Pain is basically like...
bagpipe music.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly right, yeah. And it says that they're going there because there's a lot of vampires,
mm-hmm.
and they assume that'll be the next target for the Reapers. Mm-hmm. So Whistler...
Jump up, but get down.
They're heading to the House of Pain. They're heading in, and Whistler is told to wait outside and to cover them. So he's on the roof with a sniper rifle.
Mm.
And Norman Reedus, Scud, is, of course, waiting in his van out there, basically giving them intel and, like, watching the cameras and stuff.
And then he says, how are things up there? Because it's raining.
Yeah.
And he says... like walking on sunshine. And I'm like, oh, Chris Christopherson's a Katrina and the Waves fan.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
And so then there's this weird, like, slow motion walk to the club, which you would expect from, like, an action movie.
Yeah.
And as they're entering, they basically have to remind Blade not to just, like, massacre all the vampires because they're feeding and everything, but he needs to leave them alone. Their real target is like, Nomac and his crew. So, the doors open, and we see this massive vampire rave. Yeah. Basically, everybody's... The vampires are always having raves in Blade movies.
Are they? In Blade 1, aren't they?
Yeah, that's how it, like, opens.
Oh, really?
With a rave.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So are they saying because that's up all night? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and basically hedonistic kind of, you know, drugs and anything you can think of and get into, that's what's happening.
Oh, yeah, okay.
As Blade is walking through, we see Rush, who kind of bumps into Blade.
Now, Rush isn't playing at the rave.
No, Rush, the Euro
vampire. He totally was like, what are you talking about?
Rush, like, the Euro Rush vampire. The and group. he wears a red feather boa all the time, which to me is odd. But so he wears he's still got his red feather boa on, and he bumps into Blade and goes, gooey, and, like, runs out of the, you know, does this, like, very... animated, like, run out of the rave, so yeah. He leaves.
Today's
Blade's
Tom
there.
Sawyer.
He's working, man. Anyway, but so as they're standing there, Reinhardt trains his gun on Blade, but it turns out Blade has got his gun trained on Reinhardt too.
Mm.
And at this point, you can cut the sexual tension with a knife.
Beauty and the Beast.
Wait, so is which one's the beauty in this one?
Oh, Ron Perlman.
Beauty and the tax evasion. which, by the way, is one of Blade's only weaknesses, his taxes.
He's not paying his taxes.
My one weakness.
Oh, damn it.
So.
Damn you, IRS. You get me every time.
So they're looking around, just very boringly, kind of strolling around this club, trying to figure out where things are. And it goes on for a while. They are just walking around forever.
I read that somewhere Michael Jackson was supposed to have a cameo during one
really?
Of the seasons. Yeah.
Ew, that'd have been weird.
Yeah, no, tell me
that
about
I think that would have taken me out of
I
it.
I think
if
that
I
would have taken
him.
Me out of it, too. It would have made it too campy.
Yeah, I mean, because then all the Nomac people wouldn't be the freakiest looking monster in the movie.
He looks like one of them, but hey.
His jaw hinges, I think, too, but... So we get the shot
sure
of...
Are you sure he's not Nomac? Okay.
So Nomac is, like, in the sewers kind of looking around or, like, under the dance floor or something. And you see a lot of Reapers with him, and they're, like, getting ready to move in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, shit's about to go down. Valain?
I actually call them the Telly Savalas of vampire breeds.
That is very true.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of Ron Howard's little brother... Whenever I saw, or Ron Howard's brother.
Okay.
Whenever I saw these things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that's even better.
Yeah. So Verlaine and Lighthammer are looking around. They're searching. And then there's kind of a Reaper scoping them out from the shadows. Basically, you start seeing, like, little shadows of, like, the Reapers kind of moving in at the edges of the screens. And some Reapers start kind of attacking Scud's van. And they start taking out the power to it. But Whistler, he's trying to get a hold of Whistler to, like, get him off. But Whistler is nowhere to be seen. He's just gone, and his rifle's up on the roof.
Hmm.
And then all of a sudden you start seeing more of them moving through the crowd. And then finally, one of them starts going after Lighthammer. So things are about to happen. Nomac grabs Nyssa. And is talking to him when Blade shows up and just shoots him in the head. But, of course, it does nothing. He, like, flies back into the wall, but he gets back up. So, obviously, he's hardier than your regular vampire.
Mm-hmm. And he likes that Chumbawamba song.
Yes.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. I'm Nomac.
He says that exactly.
I get knocked down.
So, the Reapers don't seem to be getting hurt when people are starting to, like, open fire on them. So... Priest is the first one who goes down.
Everyone starts scrambling, right?
Yeah, they're all running around crazy.
This raid is interrupted, and it's a Dragula. No? Okay.
Yeah. So Priest has the first one down, followed by Lighthammer. Lighthammer's just been bitten, but he's not dead. But of course, he hides that from Verlaine. So and it's like the Reaper like digs his fingers into his back so he can't get rid of him. And we see this cool shot like where he starts when he's biting Lighthammer, like these kind of almost like sack things come out of his shoulder blades.
I had a date like this once.
Oh, did you?
No.
Finally, so everybody's kind of having a tough time. Scud gets the UV working on the van, and it's actually very super effective. It makes him burst into flame right away. More powerfully.
I had a day like that too, where he just burst into flames.
Really?
Hey.
He goes, "Excuse me," like, "Whoa, UV light does this to me."
Oh, Ray Bond.
So he bursts into flames, and of course, then Scud's like, "Hey guys, UV works great on these. You got to use the UV lights I gave you on your guns." So while they're trying to figure all that out, Blade and Nomax start sparring, and they're pretty evenly matched.
Yeah.
Blade also has these hand blades that were given to him by Scud.
Mm-hmm.
They have EDTA in them, which normally EDTA is an anticoagulant, but it's supposed to react with the vampires. Oh,
that's not the morning after pill?
No, it's like what's in your toothpaste.
Oh, that's RU486. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So they're loaded with RU486. So normally we would make a vampire explode, but he manages to stab Nomak with it a bunch of times, and it kind of bubbles up, but that's it. It basically doesn't kill him. It just kind of gives him a headache.
Now, I don't know if this happens in the first movie, but what aggravates me a lot is when like people crack their joints. And Wesley Snipes,
does
Blade
it a
character,
lot.
Does that a lot. Does he do that in the first movie, too?
I probably
don't
remember that.
Is that a characteristic that he gave him or in the comic book?
No, they just, you do that in movies and stuff to make people be like, ooh, he's a badass.
You're a badass?
Wolverine does that a lot, too. Wolverine does it, and you hear, like, the metal doing
he
when he does it.
Yeah,
so,
I hate that.
Nomak has Blade pinned down, but he takes his sword and manages to reflect some of the light that's coming in now, because it's daytime outside, manages to reflect the light and burn Nomak a little bit, who then flees. And really, it was a very well-choreographed fight.
Again, yeah, it really was.
And Donnie Yen does choreographed a great fight, and it really helps, like, Luke Goss, especially.
I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me. I'm one with the Force. Just in case. Our listeners need to know who that is.
Yes, that's
from the Force.
Exactly.
No, Rogue One, I'm
Rogue
sorry.
Rogue One. And Luke Goss does a great job in these fights. Like, he's excellent. Anyway, we cut to Priest, who's rolling around in agony. Basically, he's changing already. It's been about 20 minutes, and he's changing. So they're like, okay, we'll just put him down. So they shoot him a bunch of times. But shooting him again does no good. So finally they grab a sword from Snowman and just cut his head apart. But the parts of his head are still alive. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not dying still. So Blade shoots some holes in the wall, which just makes light come in. And that, of course, makes him explode right away.
Right. More like Bram Croker Dracula.
Yeah.
Bram Croker. I got you on that one.
I just thought that was vampire frogs. That's like Kermit. If the Muppets did Bram Stoker's Dracula, Bram Croker's. So they find one. Whistler shows up, and they're like, "Well, where the hell were you? I was in trouble." Scud's pissed off at him, but he says, "Well, I found a Reaper and saw some of my own, so I followed him." Turns out there's a Reaper trapped heading into the sewers, and like the door closed and trapped him there. So it's already dying, and they figured out that, hey, the metabolism is burning too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't feed every couple of hours, they die. Nomak is okay. He's not running through the same problems because he's actually the carrier. He's the one who was born with it. So they take the Reaper back to their place and do a further autopsy. And again, this is great practical effects too.
It is.
They look at like the mandibles and the mouth, and there's like it has venom, like little stingers on the sides of like the, the skin that opens up. You see the tongue where it does like the suckering thing.
Can I add, and this has nothing to do with the autopsy, but Ron Perlman's character is chewing bubble gum and he blows a bubble.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice little touch.
It was a nice little effect.
Yeah.
So they also see when they go into the chest that the heart is encased in solid, like in bone in the, from the front, so you can't just stab it in the heart. You can only get to it from the sides, which you wouldn't be able to do with a stake because they're not long enough. And there's like an, another like little stomach thing that, of course, when they give it blood, it still wants to feed. So even though the thing is dead, its body still wants to keep going. So they're just extra creepy. So Blade basically says, hey, everybody get ready. We're going to go out at dawn and try to take down these things. Like in the sewers where obviously they're staying. And he says, let me just be clear. I don't expect everyone to survive. Thanks for the pep talk, coach.
Thanks for the foreshadowing, coach.
Yeah. Thanks, man. So in the meantime, Scud and Whistler are kind of bonding, and we see Scud, he said that he joined up with Blade after he picked up a couple girls when he was backpacking. And turns out they were torturing him and going to kill him. And Blade found him and saved him. And so that's how they got together. In the meantime, they're bonding over this and talking while they were building a UV grenade to be used against the Reapers. So the team gears up. So they're going to lure the Reapers out with this with Reaper pheromones that they harvested from the Reaper they captured. So they need to spray a little bit to start drawing them to them.
Oh, okay.
So they get into the sewers and they split up into small groups. So it's Reinhardt, Chupa, and Whistler are in one group. Verlaine, Lighthammer, and Snowman are in another. And then the last group is Blade, Nissa, and Assad.
Those are also band members to a ska.
Correct.
Like band?
Correct.
They sound like it.
So in the first group, we see it's Lighthammer, Verlaine, and Snowman walking around, and they're all kind of together. Verlaine is looking down another way. We see Snowman down at the end of one tunnel, and finally Lighthammer kind of moves behind him, and we get the sense he goes full Reaper.
Right.
So he...
So Cyndi Lauper is there, and she sees... Yeah. She finally sees his true colors.
Correct. Yeah. She walks up on him, basically eating Snowman.
Right.
And so, of course, she's in love with him, so she looks devastated, but... He starts to come after her, and she realizes, oh, that's not him, so she starts firing on him. Of course, that doesn't stop him, so she runs up this ladder, and he's in pursuit behind her. She gets up to the top and opens the manhole cover, letting the light in, and basically just kills both of them instantly.
Yeah, a sacrifice.
Yeah. Chupa and Reinhardt, in the meantime, who are teamed up with Whistler, start just beating the crap out of him, and they say, we lose one of our teammates, Blade is going to lose one of his. And Reinhardt leaves Chupa to do whatever he wants to Whistler. So Whistler, though, while he's getting beat up, just sprays all of the pheromone out, just lets it go. So he's just bringing the Reapers to them. While that's happening, Reapers jump Assad and Nissa and just kill Assad pretty much instantly, drag him down under the water and are killing him there. Blade tells Nissa to run and to don't look back, and he'll take care of him. He'll draw him off of her. So he
forgot, like, he kept seeing like people's dentures.
Yeah, he saw like piles of bones, like tons and tons and tons of bones.
I called bones more like angels. Get it? Because of what's his face from Bones? He was in Buffy, and he was
David,
a vampire.
David Boreanaz.
Yeah, so I wanted to do that joke. It wasn't a good one, but I wanted to do it.
But it still was a joke, nonetheless.
It still was a joke, folks. They're not all golden.
So anyway, he uses this UV bomb to kill a bunch of the Reapers who have him surrounded. And so they're okay in the meantime. Chupa, in the meantime, also gets attacked by Reapers. And while he's getting ripped apart, Whistler gets away. So Blade puts out the call for everybody to regroup. So it's Reinhardt, Nissa, and Blade are basically the ones still around. They circle up. Blade douses himself in pheromones so that the group can get away. He kills a pack of them with a UV grenade while they're running. And so Reinhardt basically says, hey, you have to get to the UV bomb, which is, you know, down that tunnel. So he gets to the UV bomb. And when he gets to the UV bomb, Reinhardt calls him and tells him, hey, the lever is stuck. Forgot to tell you, you're going to die. And it looks like almost all of them are done for. Like, they're getting overrun. Blade finally gets the bomb going. And this was kind of weird to me. So the UV bomb goes off. Now we're talking about light. The light, apparently it's so powerful that it starts traveling down the tunnels like fire.
Yeah, it doesn't work. That's not how light works.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre to me. I'm gonna pass on that one. I wrote, is that how light works? I would understand if it was fire, I get it.
Right.
But it just didn't seem quite right. Anyway, so all the Reapers down there are dead. And so he grabs Nissa and gathers her up. Now, while that's happening, Nomak actually confronts Whistler. And he tells him there's something that Lil D didn't tell the group, and gives him this ring and whispers something to him. Then while Blade is taking care of Nissa, he gets tased from behind, and it's the vampire familiars have shown up from the castle, the nation,
the vampire nation.
Yep, and Reinhardt is with them, and basically they take down Blade. So we go back, and now Nissa is kind of pensive.
Right.
And she's talking to her dad, Lil D, and says, hey, why do we do this? Blade is honorable. He saved me.
Right.
He's done nothing but try to save people. And he didn't go against his word. He didn't kill a bunch of vampires there. Right. Like, he's man of his word. And he basically, you know, shuts her down.
Yeah, Lil D might not have paid his taxes, but he saved me.
Blade wakes up in this room, and it's Whistler and Blade and Scud. So Whistler tells him the Reaper virus was actually engineered and not mutated.
Mm-hmm.
And Lil D shows up and says, yep, that's right. He was basically trying to create a pure, strong vampire race.
And I like this twist. It's fine.
Because the vampires have been diluted over time. You know, they have these weaknesses that they're not supposed to have. Basically, Nomak was a failed experiment. He wasn't born like that. He was just a failed genetic experiment. And the ring he had was
actually...
That's what
my parents told me.
The ring he had was actually a family ring from Lil D. So Reinhardt busts Blade in the face. And Blade takes out the remote and tries to detonate Reinhardt's palm. And it doesn't do anything. He says, sorry, it's a dud. Turns out that Scud was Lil D's familiar all along. So Reinhardt pulls the bomb off and throws it to Scud. And Scud basically talks about, like, nope, I've been under their control the whole time. You know, I was playing you, this and that.
I did not catch that.
Yeah.
Like, I did not see that coming.
And usually I'm pretty good about seeing twists and things.
Usually you are. That's why I asked you if you saw that.
When I saw it in the theater, it totally caught me off guard.
Which is good.
What the hell? Yeah. Like, they were really good about not giving that away so much. Turns out that Blade actually knew that he was something was up the whole time. He suspected it. So the bomb actually wasn't a dud, it was live. And so then he detonates it, and Scud blows up into, like, looks like, you know, shredded ham everywhere.
I mean, that's kind of cheesy a little bit, but, you know, it's fine. It moves the plot along.
Yeah. So they take Blade away, and hook him up on this table and basically start stealing his blood to use in their experiments,
mm-hmm.
to use like his natural, you know, daywalking abilities and to blend it into the next generations. In the meantime, Reinhardt is basically taunting Whistler. Nyssa is conflicted because Blade saved her twice and her father was just going to let her be sacrificed. While she's kind of, you know, mulling over this, Nomak breaks in and starts tearing Little D's forces apart. Reinhardt's distracted because
someone's
by all this.
Someone's got daddy issues.
Reinhardt's distracted by all this, and while he is, Whistler jumps him and knocks him out. Whistler then grabs Blade's sword and crawls through the vents to go save Blade. Nomak makes it all the way to Damaskinos and takes out his, you know, the forces closest to him,
mm-hmm.
And he escapes with Nyssa in this elevator. Reinhardt basically comes after Whistler and Blade. Blade is super weak because they've drained his blood, and he manages to dive into this pool of blood, basically just flips off the edge of this ledge.
Right.
Not even so much a flip, just kind of falls.
Right, and into falls it. Into what I call a blood bath and beyond.
Correct. That is a place.
Spot on.
Yes. So he falls into the blood. He's under there submerged for a moment, and then he just kind of comes out of it back full strength. And so at this point,
I think he's stronger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. So at this point, it's go time. There's going to be a fight. A bunch of guards run in, and Blade just kicks all their asses. And it's a really good fight scene. Yeah, really so, good. I mean, it's like him fighting, and then like he's taking their kind of like shock sticks that they have and using that on them.
The music is fine. It amps up the scene.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about this is good.
Yeah, so now it's down to he takes all of them out. And now it's down, and I think the last thing is he like suplexes somebody, which is fun.
What's suplexing? What is that?
That thing where he grabs him and like fell backwards.
Oh,
with him.
I actually thought the suplex is like if your neighbor at a duplex is named Sue.
Yeah,
it's a suplex.
It's where both people have to be named Sue
in order to rent the duplex.
Yeah. Oh boy, this is a suplex. Watch out for Sue.
What's your name? Barb? Sorry, we can't rent to you.
Sorry, this is not a Barbplex. Now it's down to Blade and Reinhardt. And you feel like there's going to be this big fight, but Reinhardt just starts it out coming at Blade with his own sword. Blade just grabs it together between his hands and holds it so that Reinhardt can't move it.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Reinhardt trying, but Blade is just kind of moving where he wants it to. Like he's pulling it up and out of his hands.
It's like a hand of God. Also a Ron Perlman show.
But it's like, it's really, like you thought it was going to be a big fight and they just stopped it real fast. He grabs the sword. Blade manages to flip it out of his hands, catch it, or before he does that, he says, "Do you blush?" Because that's what Ron Perlman said
Call
to him.
Callbacks.
And then he flips the sword out of his hands, grabs it, and just slices Reinhardt in half, just right up the middle.
And I say twilight, more like bylight, because it's like a half.
Yes.
Anyway, they're not all good, okay? They're not all good. I wanted to do one where he was talking to Nyssa, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "What is this, interview with a vampire?" But I didn't do that one, okay? They're not all good.
Why didn't you do that one?
That was actually good.
It was good. So he cuts him in half up the middle.
I love vampires.
And he
jokes.
Slides apart. And and so then Reinhardt's done. It was kind of not that glorious of an ending for Reinhardt. Like I thought,
not for Ron Perlman. No,
I thought there'd be a better fight, but he gets Hellboy later for that.
Yeah.
So now Nyssa and Lil D are running away, and Nyssa locks them in, and he's of course Damaskinos is freaking out and saying, "Why would you do that?" And she's like, "I think it's time we need to end. You know, we're the bad guys. Clearly, we're the bad guys. We need to stop this. And Nomak busts in. And, of course, little D is like, oh, come here, my son. We'll find a cure. You're my precious whatever. And, like,
remember
trying to be like...
Boy Scouts? Come on.
Yeah, trying to be all nicey-nice to him
now. I'm a
good
father.
And then...
I gave you that bike when you were four.
Give you a ring and stuff.
I gave you a ring and powers.
So he's trying to be close to him, and Nomak basically is like, nah, screw that, and bites him. And he's, like, bleeding out. And it's cool because he's so old.
A liberal. I mean.
So it's cool because he's bleeding out. And so he's so old that when he finally dies, he like turns gray and like cracks like he's just, you know, like petrified.
Exactly how George Burns went.
Yeah, that's exactly how that
exactly.
went. Bit by a vampire. And the Reaper came for him. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so... Nyssa is basically tells Nomak, hey, I'm prepared to die. She kind of takes her gear down so he gets a clear view to her neck, and he bites her. Blade shows up, and Blade and Nomak fight. And again, great choreography by Donnie Yen, and great fight.
I agree.
Great fighting by Luke Goss and Wesley Snipes. It's great. And actually, at the beginning, there's one part even where Blade stabs him with his sword, and the sword breaks off, and Nomak just, like, pulls it out and throws it away. And we're like, where one part where his arm gets broken, and he does this thing where he, like, swings it around until it all kind of is back in one piece, and then he elbows Blade using the momentum of, like, swinging his arm around. It's very cool.
Yeah.
These
are fine scenes. I love them, actually.
Yeah.
It's not my type of movie,
right.
But I understand what's good about it.
Yeah. And so then Blade, well, he's getting his ass handed to him. When he notices the broken blade of his sword nearby, he grabs it, and it's long enough, whereas the stakes weren't long enough to hit the heart of the Reapers, like when you were to stake them. He uses the sword and jams it in from the side so he gets it into his heart.
Mm.
So it was just long enough to basically use like a stake on these guys. So, of course, Nomak goes down and he's realizes he's pretty much done. And he says, you know, it obviously doesn't go all the way in, but he says, it's funny, it hurts no more. And, or it's strange, it hurts no more. And he takes it and jams it the rest of the way in himself, and that's what kills him.
Mm-hmm.
So he finishes himself off. Now Blade goes over to Nyssa, who's been bitten, and she says she can feel...
Once bitten, twice shy.
Are you saving all these?
No, I didn't write that one down. I just thought of it right now.
Well played.
I know.
So... she says she can feel it, like, taking over. And so she says, I don't want to die like this. I want to die a vampire.
Die a vampire.
Yeah, can you take me to see the sun? And he says yes, so he takes her outside, and he's holding her, just waiting for the sun to come up. And when it does, she just kind of disintegrates. So she's dead. He gets back up, and... it cuts to London. So
did you know they originally were going to have a sex scene between them?
Were they really?
Yeah. No, I'm glad they didn't.
No.
I like how this plays.
Yeah, it was like, and it was weird because it was like, I think it was almost like a tenderness based off of respect.
Right.
Kind of a thing. Like, they saw a camaraderie in each other, but they didn't take it too far. Like, you know, I'm glad they didn't go down that route either. They cut to London, and we see Rush again with his red feather boa. And so he is at like an adult shop, whatever.
A porn place.
Yeah, and he gets some movie to go see a peep show. And so he's sitting there, and he's like, okay, well, you know, whatever's happening. He's show him, grab a bunch of tissues, and then the lights come up, and it's Blade. And he goes, I told you I'd come back for you. And he stabs him through the head, through the glass in the shop. So, and that's how it ends. The end.
Okay.
So you've been deuced.
You've been deuced.
Blade 2, Blood Hunt. Nowhere in that movie were they hunting blood. So I don't understand why it's
Blood
Hunt.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Don't understand.
They were hunting. It was Damaskinos, Lil D's blood. It was like his child.
I guess. I mean, maybe.
Maybe?
That's stretching it.
Yeah, it whatever. Is.
So that's what we thought of it.
Yep.
But like always, we like to hear what other people thought of it, and both a good and a bad. So we're going to start with the bad. And Harold, Hawk Harold says, 1 out of 10. Hmm. Where's the fun? This sequel is awful. It has a lame plot, a pathetic villain in Nomak, and a very awkward attempt at a romantic subplot. Blade 2 lacks the energy of fun of the original film, which may be in part due to the loss of the original director and one of the more interesting characters from the first film, Dr. Karen Jensen. The director, Del Toro, whose Hellboy films and Pan's Labyrinth were extremely enjoyable, is at best questionable, including a questionable decision of transition from live-action fight scene to ridiculous-looking CGI.
Mm, yeah.
Norman Reedus also stinks up the joint as Scud, who becomes Blade's sidekick during the time Whistler was a prisoner. It would have been a far more interesting film if the story had followed Blade on the mission to rescue his mentor. Hawk Harold, you are wrong on everything except the CGI.
Yeah, I agree. That is
this movie does not need to be a one. I don't enjoy movies like this, but this movie is not a one movie.
No.
I do not enjoy that. So no. No on you.
Yeah, that's too much. And like, yeah, I don't think the fight scenes were, they're like, well, they took out the only enjoyable Karen character, that Dr.
Was
Karen,
she?
Whatever. No, she was awful.
Okay,
I hated her in the first one.
This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
I hated her in the first one. I think that, like, she annoyed me more than anything. I'm really glad she didn't show up in this one.
Yeah, they don't really talk why she didn't show up.
No, I think it was just like about it.
That's probably more than she deserves then.
Yeah. Huh.
So this person gives it a 10 out of 10. This is from Mulber. Says the movie kicks ass. Okay, I didn't think it was good at the first one, though there are obvious improvements in the special effects. But this movie really rocked. My wife, who didn't particularly like the first one, absolutely loved this one. The action scenes were amazing, and I thought it looked like Blade was gonna get all sappy towards the vampires, especially the girl. He still kicked ass, and it had an awesome ending. Comparable to the ending in Russia in the first movie. That's all he says.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And they even talk about that in at the end of the first movie.
Okay.
It like ends in Russia.
Okay.
But they talk about that in this one, that he started out in Russia trying to find Whistler. So
okay. Yeah, yeah.
And moved across Europe.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
and
it's fine.
I agree with that. I especially like where he's like, look, I didn't think it was quite as, you know, good or fun as the first one, whatever, but I enjoyed it a lot.
Do you think this is better than the first one? You've seen the first one.
You know, I'd almost have to watch it again, too.
Okay, that's fine.
So this, and I'll be honest, when this movie came out, I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking with some friends about it, and I ranked them. Now, I hate the third movie, too. I hate the third movie, rather. But I ranked it 1, the original one, then 3, and then 2. And I only ranked 2 that because I hated it so much I wanted it down further on the list. But as time has gone on, and I've appreciated a lot more with Guillermo del Toro, and kind of my own style has changed a little bit with things, and I look back at this and I go, why did I ever hate this movie?
This is not a terrible movie.
I don't know why I hated it.
I don't know why. You know, I think if you're a fan of Blade, you would be happy with the sequel.
And honestly,
it's not
trying
terrible.
To... I think back to the first one, even. I think the first one was fun for me because I hadn't really seen anything like it before.
Okay.
I remember I went to see it with my dad. We were like... We drove by the theater and we're like, well, what the hell's playing? And I was like, Blade? I go, well, hey, I think that's a comic book movie. And Dad goes, let's just go see it. And I watched it, and I loved that movie. Like, I was like, this is so great.
What'd your dad think of it?
Dad liked it, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we thought it was great. And so I was really excited to see this one. I think it's maybe because there was other, like, emotional ties to it with that one. Because it was, like, I saw it with my dad, and it was, like, the first thing I saw like this. So it had a special place for me. And it was the first comic book movie of this caliber that I saw, mm-hmm. Blade One. So I think it had a special place for me. So when I saw this one, it didn't fall quite like where I wanted it. But mm-hmm. like now that I, my visual appreciation and things are a lot better. Maybe that's what it was. And so I will be the first to admit. And Court of Cinema Psyops, he was the one who was like from the beginning was just like, dude, are you sure you didn't like this one?
I don't think that I don't know. That person who gave it a one review, please watch this movie again.
Yeah.
I know you're probably not listening to this podcast, but please watch it again. Yeah. I don't think it deserves a one.
No.
This is not a one movie.
Yeah.
And I give it a 7. Yeah. I think 7.
Yeah.
7.5. I'd give it an
8 or more.
I think you're wrong. I'm just joking.
But no, I thoroughly enjoy it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the movie via our 5 questions.
Okay, yeah. So what did you think was the best part of the movie?
There's a lot that I thought was really good in this movie. The stunts were really good.
Yeah.
The practical effects were really good.
Yeah, very much so.
The parts I didn't like were necessarily like the story and the dialogue that happened through it. Some of that was kind of cheesy or clunky in a way.
Yeah.
But the stunts really do help it. Wesley Snipes is fine in this movie. There's nothing terrible. This is Wesley Snipes' favorite Blade movie.
Oh, nice.
That's what he has said. So that's saying a lot because, I mean, I don't prefer Wesley Snipes, period.
Yeah.
I really don't. And that's not because of what has happened in the past. I'm not a fan of his.
Yeah.
I mean, Passenger 57, I think, is where he kind of got big.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of stemmed from there. I thought he was fine in it. I didn't think it was great. This is a fine movie. And I love the special effects. The practical effects, I mean.
Yeah.
There were some special effects that were a little clunky. Mm-hmm. And not just the fight scene that they had that was CGI.
Yeah.
But in the beginning when he was, like, executing vampires.
Yeah.
And they were kind of turning into amber.
Yeah.
It didn't hold up as well. I mean, it's still, you know.
Right.
This movie is old.
Yeah.
What would you say? It's, like, 17 years old, probably.
It was 2000.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, like, 17.
2000, 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
16, 17 years old. Yeah. So. But, no, there was a lot of good parts of it.
Yeah. So, no, God, Blade 1 is going to be 20 years old. Jeez Louise. Sorry, I just, like, thought of that all of a sudden. For me, it was kind of tough. I think, like, the visuals do it for me a lot. Like, the settings were great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the creatures I thought were great. You get a lot of, like, Mike Mignola, like, influence in that as well. And Guillermo del Toro always does a great job with visuals.
A lot of times, like, practical effects are, like, they're too gooey. Or, like, they're too, like, oh, we got to make them kind of gross looking.
Yeah.
And that kind of loses it for me.
Yeah.
This is just the right kind
mm-hmm.
of, like, practical effect.
Yeah.
Where it's not too disgusting, mm-hmm. but it's enough to go, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Make you jump a little bit.
And then, again, even going along the same lines with the visuals, the choreographed fight scenes by Donnie Yen,
mm-hmm.
Luke Goss, and Wesley Snipes, just their fighting in those, I thought were great.
Yeah.
I mean, the visual aspects of those are great. I agree with you, though. There's some clunky parts in the script.
Yeah.
A few cheeseball lines and stuff like that. But overall, I thought it was great. But the visuals keep me enthralled with the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not the most well-acted movie ever.
No.
But it's not a one. A one? Come on.
Would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
They did try to reboot this through a TV series, correct?
I thought it was not like a... it's weird. I didn't think it was like a reboot. It was like in the same universe. But it was a different non-Wesley Snipes person, though.
I don't think even reboot. I think you can make a fourth Blade movie.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
With Wesley Snipes?
I think Wesley Snipes needs to make a comeback.
Yeah.
He had a TV show. I actually watched the TV show. I think it was called The Player.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
You think he could do like the effects he needs to do now, though?
I don't know.
The fights or the...
Maybe. I mean, I thought he was fine on that show.
Yeah. I think if you don't do it... I think if you... Like, personally,
if you're
going to
reboot it, you got to get a good, you know.
Well, personally, for me, I said reboot. But, like, this is something I could see, like, on a Netflix, either as a movie or, like, a short series. And do something more like that than doing necessarily a fourth movie.
I get more excited for a movie.
Yeah, a movie would be pretty great. More we talk about it, yeah. It would be pretty cool.
If I was a Blade fan, I would get excited that Wesley Snipes was doing a fourth Blade movie. I would. Not a Blade fan.
Is New Line Cinema still around?
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's, you know.
Right.
Other but avenues to go through.
I don't know. Like, I would still almost reboot it and go with somebody else as Blade.
Okay. If you want.
Yeah. Okay, well, and part of it is because I also don't want... Now to get a tired Wesley Snipes who can't do, like, all this stuff and to kind of taint it for me even more. Like, that third one was pretty awful to me. Like, it was basically, in this, he's a badass, but he has, like, his moments of, like, where he's, you know,
look,
heroic
if,
and whatever.
Hugh Jackman can go out and do all those Wolverine movies. I'm sure if they have the right kind of fitness guru and the right kind of training.
Right.
I'm sure Wesley Snipes could hold his own if he wanted to.
Yeah. But
now, does Blade ever cross over with any comic books at all?
For a while, Blade was in the X-Men.
Okay.
There was a period where they got
How
really
awesome
vampire
would
that be? Heavy. Blade in the X-Men?
Yeah.
I would hate that.
Why?
Because it's crossed over and it would have no... Because then all of a sudden you have to start interjecting vampires into the X-Men world. Yeah, you do. Why else would he be with them?
I don't know. To help them out?
No, he hunts vampires. That's his one gig.
Okay, whatever. I'm trying to help you out, Blade fans. I wouldn't go see it. I'm just saying that would be cool. It would be cool to see Wesley Snipes like a comeback.
It would, and I would enjoy that, but I think I would almost at this point rather have a reboot one with somebody younger. Do you think this movie stands on its own?
Yes.
You do?
No. Okay. But I've never seen the first movie, so I do believe it stands on its own.
Did you get, like, and I know from the first movie, like, what happens with Whistler and all this kind of stuff, or where they're hunting him or trying to find him again. Does that make sense to you? Like,
what?
Like, him finding, the whole history with Whistler and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, on a novice way of looking at Blade... I obviously know that this is a mentor to him.
Yeah.
Someone who's helped him. I mean, I can gather that from this movie. Yeah, I do think it stands on its own. I think maybe you and I have a different definition on what stands on its own sometimes.
Well, sometimes I think that, but this one I feel like we get reintroduced to Whistler and we talk a little bit about his mom and stuff like that. I think the first movie has some mythology that helps this one stand better. Like, understanding Blade's abilities and whatever. Like, they kind of touch on it, but they kind of gloss past real
probably
fast.
But I think if you're just watching the movie and you're just kind of letting it sink in, because, again, this is not a movie I like. Like, this is not a type of movie I like. If you're just letting it be what it is, you can sit there and enjoy it. And you might not get background information, but you'll get enough to root for Blade or enough to, like, decide that Whistler is important or the plot is there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me. And to me, that means it stands on its own.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does this make you want to watch the first film?
Okay. And this is my answer to this. I probably will never watch the first one. Having said that,
that doesn't mean that A, I shouldn't watch the first one, or B, that our listeners shouldn't watch the first one if they've never seen the first one. You should definitely go and watch the first one. If you're a Blade fan, if you're a fan of these type of movies, I'm not a vampire fan, I would suggest to watch this. Does it make me personally want to watch the first one? No. As someone reviewing this film, to go back, yeah, I would. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you can like a movie without liking a movie.
Yes.
Like, there's different types of like. Yep. I don't like this type of movie, but I like this movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Nope, I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
For me, yeah, it makes me want to go back and watch it again. And part of it is because, and I touched on this earlier, like, I was so excited seeing Blade, like the original Blade movie, that seeing this one gets me re-energized for that. And part of that is, so the first movie came out in like 97, 98, right? And it came out, I believe, right behind, Batman and Robin.
Oh.
Like a little while after that. To me, watching Batman and Robin, I just went, that's it. Superhero movies are dead. There's nothing else, you know, because that was it for me. Like, it was terrible. And I was so let down that I was like, we're probably not going to see a really great superhero movie like it again, maybe at all. And seeing Blade, all of a sudden, I felt this moment of like, these things might still be possible. We may be able to still have superhero movies.
Yeah, it was the weird time. It was like a cusp where there wasn't really good comic book movies coming out at the time.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was a gamble to even do a Blade movie.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like you can see this progression of the quality of Marvel movies or comic book movies in general kind of starting to get the quality that they need.
And honestly, you know, people are always talking about, well, Howard the Duck was the first Marvel movie. That's great and all. But to me, Blade was what got a crack in the door again. Like, that was what people went, huh, this is feasible. This could actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000, X-Men came out. So a couple years down the road, X-Men showed up after the Blade movie. So it was like a dream come true, because this movie, to me, when I saw it, it opened up the possibility. And for the first time in my head, I kept thinking, oh my God, we could actually have an X-Men movie.
Well, not
or
only
we could
that.
Have other Marvel movies or other superhero things that are viable. Look how they did this, and it was viable. It was actually entertaining.
Well, not only that, at the time, and I don't mean to put race in there, but here's an African American who is headlining a franchise or these three movies in that time of 2000, when you really didn't get that, that's pretty big.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's another reason why the third movie kind of let me down too. Was like, not only was he there, and all of a sudden they were just like, he was being like over badass. He was almost like to the point of like, I do everything one swipe and it's stupid. And, you know, just it was lame. But they were really trying to push. I can't remember what their names are. I think it's like the Daybreakers or something like that. Basically, there was another. He had Hannibal King and
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, who played by Ryan Reynolds, and Abigail Whistler, played by Jessica Biel, join him on this thing. And they, I think, were trying to spin them off into their own movie.
And they probably were. I mean,
and it just tanked. And so, but it was like, all of a sudden, and there's tons of stars in the third one, like big stars.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was like, okay, it by then I think caught on in popularity. And so all these stars were like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. And it just kind of cheapened it for me, because now it was no longer this kind of like cult indie underground-ish feeling thing.
Yeah.
It was like, it was very more mainstream.
Right.
And when that happened, it was
hipster.
Just. It was just, shush. I liked it before. It was cool. And it just lost something for me. So.
Okay.
Okay, sum it up in your experience in two words.
Bloody good.
good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I said, watch again. Because to me, like when I, again, when I watched it the first time, this movie is a movie that you need to like kind of needs to kind of saturate. And
I'm fine. I'm watching it for
a little bit.
But I would. I would watch it again. Yeah. I agree.
But my first time I watched it through, I was like, bleh, this wasn't what I wanted. This isn't whatever. And like over the years, I would think back to it and be like, that movie was better than I thought it was when I was younger. Like I could just tell, even from my memory, that it was better than I remember.
It was bloody good.
Yes, and it is bloody good. So I think that's that sums it up for me.
There you go. So we say watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
I say definitely watch it if you are a Blood or a Blade fan or a Blood fan. Vampire fan. I don't even think it's a vampire movie. I call it an action movie.
Yeah.
Describe, you know, as a comic book vampire movie.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's what it is. I say watch it if you're a fan of this type of movie. Go ahead and do that. I'm not a fan of it, but hey. I sat through it and I enjoyed it, so that's something big that for me to say something like that. So,
definitely.
Yeah, so I say watch it. So yeah,
hooray!
Yeah, hooray! You might have converted me into Blade or something. I don't know. So that concludes our Blade.
Yep.
Episode number 10.
Number 10.
We're headed to number 1111.
Yes.
And that's going to have a special guest.
Yep, we're going to have a special guest.
We're going to do another Del Toro movie.
Yep, another Guillermo del Toro
Why
movie.
Not?
Hellboy
Double
2.
Double the fun.
Hellboy 2. And when we planned this out, we didn't think about that there were all these crossover actors directors and
it
stuff.
Happens.
I think it was Drew from our Facebook group, who was like, nice, a couple Guillermo del Toro movies back to back. And I went, oh, yeah, I guess there are. I
there
didn't think
go.
About that.
Yeah.
But so we'll have a special guest, Court from Cinema PsyOps, will be joining us to talk about this. And so we'll cover that with him. I know he's a big fan.
Of Hellboy or our podcast? Because I'm thinking it's just Hellboy.
Hellboy. Yes, Hellboy and Hellboy 2. I actually saw it with him. I had two friends I saw it with in theaters. And I was like, one of the two of them is going to hate this and one of them is going to love it. And Court was the one who loved it. And the other one did not like it so much. So
you can tell me off the air who that was.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume, but whatever. A lot of people are like, hey, I need to catch up on your podcast. We did throw out a special episode that hit that we downloaded that you can download from last week.
So if you like to hear us some off the cuff rambling.
Yeah, we're just talking about movies. It was just a fun special episode that just wanted to deal with stuff. But where can you listen to that, Jeremy?
So you can find it at the Deuce Podcast. .podbean.com.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, through Podbean.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can also find it on Stitcher. You can stream it there, correct?
What Stitcher?
Stitcher is a streaming site for podcasts. And you can also find it at on iTunes, the iTunes Store.
Maybe
or you can
Google
find it,
Play, too?
Google Play. You can
what?
Find it there as well. Or if you have a streaming service that does not currently have an RSS feed or that does not have it, you can also stream it through there using an RSS feed. Or if there's anywhere else we need to add it, just let us know and we'll look into it.
We'll put it up.
Except for Spotify. That one was kind of rough.
Yeah. I don't know. What would did we ever look into that?
Yeah, it was like you had to be like whatever professional level something or other. It was bizarre.
Yeah, no.
And it was not worth the effort.
No. With the amount of vampire jokes I had, I'm not professional at all. No. But so, folks, you've been deuced. And also, remember that the sequel is king.
die. Flesh of my flesh, your mind of my mind. Two of a kind, but one won't survive. My image is reflecting the enemy's eye, and his image is reflecting mine at the same time. I against